Welcome to Am I the Bleep?
Welcome to Am I the Bleep, the podcast where your favorite, I hope, Jonathans, read posts from Am I the Asshole on Reddit and then share their thoughts on it. Could be a little coachy, could be a little psychological, could be many, many things. John, how are you doing today?
I'm actually going to give the energy reading from these posts this week. I'm gonna ascribe the color of the energy and intensity.
Yeah, I feel that's the thing that's been missing from our show. So I'm glad mm-hmm. you're gonna be taking a stab at that.
It's a primarily audio medium, so I feel like people really miss out on the colors of the energy of the post.
Yeah, I mean, what else could be missing? You could give the flavor of the post too, if you'd like. That's the other thing that could be missing.
That is going to be next week. I'm going to lick my screen after each paragraph.
Are you going to clean your screen first? One step at a time.
I don't actually appreciate the implication that my screen isn't immaculately clean.
You have a dirty, dirty screen.
No, I got a clean screen over here.
Clean screen. So, yesterday, my partner Cassandra reminded me that we're going to this cover band of the Beatles tomorrow night for her dad for her Christmas. We got him this gift that we're going to go see the Beatles cover band. And I asked what album, because they play an album in full. And we saw this band do Synchronicity from The Police in full. That's really, really cool. Famously, I'm not the biggest Beatles fan in the world, but I was thinking old-timey songs, and I immediately went, I don't know why, and it has nothing to do with the Beatles, but Elvis's famous song, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, went into my head, as it does, right? Mm-hmm. And something struck me, like a bolt of lightning. Elvis emphatically shares that if somebody doesn't catch a rabbit, then they're not his friend. And then I went deep into the Google.
You ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Yeah.
I went deep into the Google. So deep.
Sure.
The Google, as my grandmother calls it. she thinks it's its own entity.
Okay.
And Elvis never caught a rabbit.
Oh, so you think it's like it's a self-appraisal. It's like him taking himself down a peg, that he is not a friend to himself because he has himself never caught a rabbit. Although I'm wondering...
No, that's not how I read it at all. I just thought he's being super judgmental for someone who never caught a rabbit.
Oh, I see. Well, I feel like, based on the lyrics of the song, if we're taking it literally, this only applies to hound dogs. So hound dogs need to catch rabbits in order to be a friend of Elvis. Does that make him an asshole?
Well, you really flipped this question back at me. I don't appreciate it.
I'm checking your story.
Yeah, that's fair. That is the first step.
That is the first step.
Does that make him the asshole? Was Elvis an asshole? I feel like this is a question that I'm going to get a lot of flack of for answering, you know?
So one of my friends, Bar Mitzvahs, also had a Beatles cover band. I believe they went by the Mop Tops. And
you believe?
They did one of those things where in prepping or keying up a song, they asked the audience a question, and I happened to be in the front because I was very close friends with the Bar Mitzvah boy, and they asked me how many days there are in a week. Now, as you know, I love the Beatles. I did not listen to the Beatles at the age of 13, and so I, with a level of confidence that I think I've really carried on into my adult life, said 7. And then they,
you fool.
And then they, bless them, didn't register that, like, wow, I clearly do not know the song. Said, no, but how many are there according to the Beatles? And then I feel like I had two options and I took the wrong one. And I said 6 because I thought maybe they don't count Saturdays. or Sunday. So they were going to take a day off. So
I feel like the Beatles deserve a day off.
So for anyone who's cringing to that story, I want you to know that you're in excellent company. And every so often, I think about that moment. I think in Penance, I've listened to most every Beatles song at least 10 times. I used to be
minimum
very into the Beatles, but now, now I'm into coaching and I'm into starting our coaching podcast. Are you into starting our coaching podcast?
Yeah. And I don't know, this rabbit question still eludes me, but go ahead. Jump into the first post, John.
Sure. Am I the asshole for telling my sister if she can't handle seeing our parents at my wedding, she shouldn't show up? My sister, who was 29, was a nightmare growing up. That is a fact, and my parents did not handle her well. She was 16 when they gave up and sent her to a camp. It was horrible for her. The moment she was 18, she left and was on her own. She hasn't been in contact with them since. A few years ago, we got back into contact and she is much better, in a much better place, and we have been slowly reconnecting. I am engaged and my wedding is this year. I sent her an invite and she gave me a call. She asked if our parents will be there and I told her yes. This is where we got in an argument. She wants me to not invite them or she won't show. That they were, she says they were horrible to her, and how dare I invite them? My argument was they have treated me well, and it's not my fault they sent her away. Also, she was pretty feral as a kid, but I don't hold that against her. We went on for a while, but in the end, I told her if she can't handle seeing our parents, to not come. She hung up and thinks I am being a jerk.
Am I the asshole?
Yeah. Yes.
Am I the asshole? This is interesting. My first question, and I know I feel like the last couple of episodes we've been a little loosey-goosey, but the first step when you're looking at any, when you're hearing any story, you're reading any sort of journal, is that you got to check your story and you got to get the story. And the first thing that jumps out at to me, and I hate math more than anything, more than rabbits themselves, is the sister's 29. And the parents sent her to camp when she was 18. Has she been at this camp the whole time? Like, what has she done in between this time? I'd be curious to know about that. You know, what was her growth process like? And what was this camp she went to for 11 years? Mm-hmm. That's a long time to be at camp. I feel like you can only listen to the cha-cha slide so many times.
Yeah.
So many times. Anyways,
I mean, I can listen to it many. I love instructional dances, but I understand.
Yeah, I feel like we were both in the same boat. I just want someone to tell me what to do when I'm on the dance floor, you know?
Yeah, now you move your hips like this. That's
or to go catch that rabbit.
Yes. Go catch a rabbit, bring it back, the song will end.
Take it back now, yeah. Three hops this time. I'll lead with it. I think when it's your wedding, you get to make a choice on who you want to be surrounded by. I think many times we get caught up like on having other people sort of dictate the pace, like, okay, you know, if you're inviting this cousin, you have to invite these 30 cousins, and it turns into a whole thing. If you want to be surrounded by your parents at your wedding, that's your prerogative. It's your wedding. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. Now with that, this family clearly has some complexity. We have parents who have sent the sister away, our OP, who is trying to rekindle that relationship with his sister. And they acknowledge that the parents were mean. And that's, I mean, in rebuilding a relationship, like just acknowledging that and being on the same page, I think is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Here we don't know OP's true, we don't know the understanding. We don't know why it's important for him to have his parents at the wedding. And there might be a bunch of reasons why it's important. It could be they helped him through his own tough times. It could be a whole bunch of other reasons. Sorry?
Him or her, we don't know.
Oh yeah, my apologies. Them through through some struggles. It could be a whole bunch of different reasons. So So I think they're allowed to have whoever they'd like to have at the wedding. With that, I think it's valid that the sister has challenges with this. I think there can be things don't need to be so black and white. Mm-hmm. There can be a system set up where maybe the parents are, for example, maybe they're a little older and they can only stay at the wedding till a certain time, and then the sister can come at a certain time. Or perhaps if the sister is uncomfortable showing up, maybe they can do a side hangout where they're reconnecting for the first time in a long time. Maybe OP, their partner, and the sister can go out and do their own thing so they can have their own special thing together. Yeah. I don't think it's so cut and dry. I don't think OP is an asshole at all for really how they handled things. I think this is a very complex family that has a lot of moving parts. I'm also really interested about that word feral, what really happened growing up to really understand the full scope of what's going on here. I don't think OP is an asshole. I think parents are partially the asshole. And I think a lot of parents are put into parenting roles where obviously they're put into parenting roles. They're parents as it goes. But a lot of times they're put into places where they may or may not actually have the skills to handle certain behaviors or certain things going on at home. Mm-hmm. But then it's kind of on them to take those steps and build those skills. There are lots of different programs they can and systems they can implement to sort of take care of behavior at home without sending somebody to quote unquote a camp. I'm really curious as to what this camp was. I know there are a lot of sort of behavioral program camps. Actually, Cassandra was watching this documentary recently about this behavioral camp where these teens were sent off and like literally having to do 500 mile long hikes in the desert without water and things like that. I imagine it's not that. That seems really cruel, but we need to know more here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think sister's the asshole at all. So OP, not the asshole. Parents, kind of the asshole. Sister, not the asshole. I think there's a lot of things for the family to work through, and I think OP is doing a good job at starting to reconnect. But there's a gray area here. It doesn't need to be come to the wedding or not come. There's probably a different way we can engage.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I had to think through that out loud. I'm a verbal processor today.
No, I mean, it really helped me because I think I agree with your assessment up to saying, I think the sister in this case is being kind of an asshole in the sense that she's making the wedding about her. She's making the wedding about her in that there's a real expectation that the comfort of the sister should override the desire of the person who is having the wedding that their parents be there. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's a fair expectation of anyone. I think you can be comfortable within reason, but if there's like drama with someone at a wedding and you don't want to go, you don't make them uninvite that person. You say, hey, just so you know, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with like the person who I don't want to see. Kind of the kind thing to do is I don't want to put you in a challenging position, especially since it's family. I'm going to miss the wedding, but we can do something ourselves. That would be like the cool thing to do while also still maintaining whatever boundaries you want to maintain as the sister between the parents. I'm currently building my wedding guest list for my upcoming wedding later this year. And my thought is, if we kind of put it into very simple terms, what makes a wedding is you have the people who you love and care about, plus or minus the people that whoever's funding the wedding care about, are there to celebrate your day. And that means that the only requirements are that it be a celebration and that the people you have there be people you care about. Now, the OP here seems to like be managing the people they care about part really well. But I think they're missing the part where if these two forces meet at their wedding, it will cease to be a celebration of the wedding, of the nuptials, and it'll start to be drama. It'll be hurt feelings being, you know, dug up and brought to the forefront. And that's just not a wedding. You know, some people may consider that a wedding because things went terribly wrong at weddings they went at, and they're just used to that. But that's not really what the, like, idea is. That's when things go wrong. So if you want your wedding to go right, you have to be willing to take people off the list if they don't meet both criteria. If they can't celebrate your wedding because of whatever reason, you don't have to make it personal. You can say, okay, in that circumstance, you wouldn't be able to celebrate this thing, so we'll do something else. Like, you know, it's creating obligation for people to be at your wedding and as the only way to celebrate your marriage is not really fair. You know, and I'm encountering this with people who are coming from like different countries and won't be able to make it because of travel challenges. Like I am going to celebrate my wedding with them at their own pace, in their own way, and in a way that they can handle and the way that they can make it to.
Yep. I think that's awesome. I think that we have quite a bunch of these Am I the Asshole posts when we're talking about weddings. It always comes around, you know, January, February, as people are planning for, you know, spring and summer. And so many of these posts have such a rigid definition of celebration.
Yeah.
And when we're thinking of how can we have and celebrate with the people that we'd like to celebrate with, mm-hmm. in a way that makes sense for those separate events,
mm-hmm.
that's when we're having the best time. And also, for me, I do this with my birthday, and I think everyone should do this for all celebrations. If you have this like super cool event, why not celebrate for longer? If you get have your wedding, have the party, and then celebrate with your sister the next week, mm-hmm. then your aunts and uncles the following week.
Yep.
You get to extend the joy, you get to extend the good times. You might even get a nice mushroom risotto or three instead of just the one, right? You can have chicken and beef.
The classic celebration.
Conundrum. Love. Yeah.
The mushroom risotto.
There's nothing better to celebrate love than a mushroom risotto. Did you take note of that for the pearls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to learn anything from that, because it's just such an old trope, celebrating love with a mushroom risotto.
It's an old truth, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's the number one way to celebrate.
How else do you make sure that those nups will be toit?
If your love is not celebrated with a hefty dose of umami, are you really celebrating your love?
Got to get those head in the woods, those chanterelles, those maitakes. It's now or never.
Speaking
spice of- up your love life, get those maitakes.
Fall in love again with the mushrooms that you have in your life.
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm so glad we switched this to a mushroom foraging podcast.
Yeah, see, it was the only way. I'll add that to the tag so that we fall in with the right audience.
Good.
I'll jump in, read the next post. You ready?
Please.
Okay. Are you ready? Am I the asshole for telling my wife she needs to knock on my separate bedroom door before entering? About a year ago, OP's 44-year-old male wife, 38-year-old female, suggested us getting separate bedrooms since she had a lot of trouble sleeping together and it would allow us to have our own privacy. I was initially not a big fan of this idea because I thought it would affect our relationship and our connection, but after talking about it for a few months, I reluctantly agreed. She also suggested that we need to respect each other's privacy by knocking on each other's doors before entering. They forgot to add a breath mark. Okay, so for about a year now, we have had our own bedrooms, and to my surprise, I've been enjoying it a lot. We still sleep together a few times a week, but do spend the majority of the night separately. I've really enjoyed the privacy and having opportunity to unwind by myself without having to worry about anything else. But my wife, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be enjoying it as much. She has started spending more nights with me in my bedroom, which is fine, but she has now started acting like we don't have any agreements at all. At first, she was very adamant about knocking on each other's doors before entering each other's rooms, would frequently call me out if I didn't. but now she has started acting like my separate bedroom is her bedroom and she doesn't knock before entering my room like we agreed to. When I called her out on it, she got really emotional and angry with me. She told me that I didn't care about her and I didn't want to have her around anymore. She also said it really hurts her feelings, but I just referred to the rule she made up and that has gotten her really, really upset. Am I the asshole?
So in the grand scheme of coaching, we try to coach everything at face value, even when there seems to be something deeper or more complicated going on that we don't have access to, because in many ways, what we're presented with is what is the information that the person has to offer, right? It's their perspective on the problem, regardless of how deep the problem really goes. And despite what they could speculate on, the only things they can really give us that are concrete are the facts. And from the facts, I don't think that OP is being an asshole. I think they are maybe being a little bit obtuse if they don't think that there's something more going on here. But I don't think they're being an asshole per se, because they're just sticking to the rules that the wife laid out. I sleep in a separate bed from my partner for pretty much the same like reasons as just anyone would. You get better sleep, and it just makes us happier people. But we don't have a knocking rule. We don't really have a privacy rule. And that might just be us as people. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong about having privacy built into your relationship if you're the type of people who need your alone time and don't want that just randomly interrupted. But I think that being clear as to why you need those things is really important. And I think that's kind of the missing piece here. Why is it so important to her back when she first established the rule? And why is it unimportant to her now that you enjoy the rule and you want it enforced? Why is it important to you, OP? I feel like you do a good, you know, a job of sharing with us how that you've kind of put this thing into place in your own life, but you don't explain like why is it important to you now that you have it? Like, what are you missing out on that has made you upset that she has now ignored it? Right? Like, is this principle, or is it the principle of the matter? Are you missing out on your privacy? Like, what's going on here? So there would be follow-up questions. Obviously, we'd want to dig. We'd want to find out kind of the backstory here. But without making assumptions, I just don't think that it's being unreasonable to keep to the rules that the other person set out and asking them to follow those rules, or at least come to the table to kind of touch base and see what, you know, if you need to change the arrangement. I think that's fair. Again, a situation where communication would come a long way, starting at why it is that each of you are upset. But that's, you know, that's just one John's opinion. What is Jonathan F?
Say my name.
I summon thee. What do you think?
Okay, so I think I agree with most of what you're saying. I think that rules are great in a relationship, but rules in relationships require flexibility. When you're at home on your own, if you've ever lived by yourself, you do things your way. And similar to many other posts we've read on this podcast, when you're living with people, it's now both your space to have all of your really important personal time, your cool down time, your recharge time, all of the things. You agreed on something initially that seemed to feel good. But then for one of the people in the relationship, it no longer feels good in the same way. Resetting the expectations and coming back to the table and having a conversation about a revised rule, an amended rule, is really important. And I'm using the term rule because it's used in the post a lot, but I don't think things need to be this rigid. Now, I'm not saying that it has to go back to how it was. I think OP can still have their bedroom space and their privacy. I just think it needs to be reaffirmed and reset. And maybe, you know, it's mentioned in that second paragraph that they're still spending time together. They're still having bedroom time together. That's all great. But resetting the expectations so it's not like an in limbo situation every single night, I think will be very, very beneficial. Back to the question, are they the asshole? I think rigidity an asshole makes. I think when we stay rigid and we stay fixed, especially in relationships where we're growing together, we might have different feelings over different amounts of time. It's really important to have that flexibility and really build that in. And by the way, for anyone listening at home, this doesn't need to be so much just for separate bedrooms. It could also be around finances, or it could be around your wedding, or it could be around all of the other important things. What worked 1 year or 1 month may not work a second month. And being able to come to the table and have those conversations is really, 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 really critical for healthy relationships. So I think this is a kind of the asshole situation. I think that a healthy relationship requires coming to that table over and over again. And I think staying rigid and not so open to that necessarily is where we're going to run into some problems. Especially if it's been going on for a year now, it sounds like your wife might actually have a lot of feelings coming up into whatever conversation you're about to have. Mm-hmm. So have leadership in your relationship, have those conversations. And I think it'll be, a much, much healthier choice and result.
So it's funny. I feel like I feel very differently than you about rigidity in relationships, in that I think that having set rules and expectations in your relationship isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think those things occur naturally, even when you don't explicitly negotiate them. I think they kind of fall into place, and it's only when you don't have room to negotiate those rules. So maybe we're coming at this in the same way. Like, maybe you and I regard rigidity differently, but at the end of the day, we're basically saying have the room to renegotiate the boundaries of your relationship and what you are cool with and what you're not cool with. But that's
not rigidity. It's like consistency, right?
Yeah. Like I believe you can have, roles. I think everyone has roles in a relationship, in a family. And those roles are things that you can negotiate and you can, change and morph to be what works best for you and what works best for the family or the relationship in general. But not having a mechanism with which to revisit those roles is really not going to let you, you're going to have a bad time because everyone is in this story is basically saying, like, I want things to be a certain way. Okay, I'm going to relent in order to give you exactly what you want, even though I don't really want this. Oh, surprise, I actually enjoyed this, which is a great outcome, but that's not how you should get to kind of agreements in the first place. You should be willing to talk and negotiate. And then when this thing happened where the wife kind of flipped and didn't like the rules anymore, you didn't have a mechanism to talk about it. And I think that's kind of the thing you got to approach here, is that you're not an asshole for wanting to stick to the rules, but you are an asshole for not wanting to talk about what's going on if you don't want to talk about it. Which doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you do want to talk about it. It's just you're confused as to why all of this is happening in the first place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of us, like, in the, like, sexually are really good at this, like, having safe words and having open conversations. But I think many of us don't. Yeah, and I feel like many of us don't actually do the same thing in our, like, practical day-to-day lives, where we come up to an agreement, but things change. Sometimes something that didn't feel, something that felt good doesn't feel good anymore. And having those terms is really, really good. Having that table that you can always come back to, have those conversations, especially like potentially, like I'm not sure how long they've been married for, but potentially a longer time to come back to and renegotiate. So I think we're at the same table. And I think the goal here is not rigidity. It's, you know, appreciating consistency and appreciating that something that feels good in a relationship can continue to feel good. But it's a relationship. It it's in this case, it requires two people to come to the table and have something that feels nice for both of them.
Yeah, are consensual bedroom knocks not the foundation of every successful relationship?
They are, and we stand by that.
We stand.
Just do the next post. No segue. Just jump in.
Am I the asshole for not letting my niece be the flower girl at my wedding? Okay, before I read this, I really hope the niece is like 30-something. That would be great. Maybe. I am a 25-year-old lady, and I'm getting married next month. Congratulations. My brother and sister-in-law have a 5-year-old daughter. Now, well, Emma. They assumed Emma would automatically be the flower girl in my wedding. That makes sense. The issue is that I have asked my best friend's daughter, Hannah, who is 6, to be the flower girl instead. Hannah's mom is my maid of honor, and she is like family to me. When I told my brother and sister-in-law that Hannah will be the flower girl, they got really upset. They said, I'm choosing friends over family and breaking their little girl's heart by not giving her this special role. I tried to explain that I've known Hannah her whole life, too. Just gonna say, it's not very impressive when you say that when the person is 6, but okay. And it's a sweet full circle moment to have her in the wedding. We have a very special connection that I don't have like this with Emma, even though I love Emma too. But my brother said I'm a selfish aunt and setting a bad precedent in our family. Now they don't want Emma involved at all. My parents think I should have just let both girls be flower girls to keep the peace, which I thought was a cool idea, and I initially didn't think of that. When I told my brother and sister-in-law that this would be great, they declined and said they don't want her to do it anymore at all. Am I the asshole? Jonathan. Johnny Fofani.
Don't call me by my full name. I know I said say my name, but not my full name.
Okay.
And this OP is Honeycomb Hips, so we'll say their full name as much as we'd like. I think this is interesting because even though we pick these posts at random, and really we do, like literally 2 minutes before we get on and record the episode live, unedited, we literally just pick these posts at random. But here today we seem to have this common thread, which is, for me, this idea of rigidity. It's like, okay, I have it in my head that I'm going to have this person be the flower girl, and not this person, and that's just the way it's going to be. And then the parents, in this case, said, why not just have both kids as flower girls? You literally have a 5- and a 6-year-old, double flower girls. It would be so adorable. Double the cuteness. And we just miss this whole potential double cuteness factor. Because we were being rigid. I like that OP was open to sort of going back. And now, based on the way these previous conversations went, the brother and sister-in-law have declined. Now, we have to ask a question all the time when we're having conversations with the people in our lives, which is, what do we want in our relationship with this person? With my brother, with my sister-in-law, with my 5-year-old niece? In this case, it feels like they want a warm, loving relationship. They just wanted to have this other person to be a flower girl. And when you come at a conversation like that, you're opening the door for maybe some compromise, maybe some cool ideas like having both as flower girls. Maybe there's a different role. You know, one can be a flower girl, one can be a ring bearer, whatever the case is. You open the door for flexibility, for creativity, and some really cool ideas. And when we're coming to it with this rigid perspective, we're closing ourselves off to ideas. I think initially my judgment on this post was that they were definitely kind of the asshole, but I like that when they were given a separate idea, they were open to it again. And I think the brother and sister-in-law are kind of the asshole, or pretty much the asshole, for being very closed off to that. At the end of the day, like, what'd they do? Go to their 5-year-old daughter and say, your family doesn't want you there? Like, how exactly did that conversation go? And I think that's very problematic. Why create that kind of drama?
You've made too many enemies, 5-year-old.
Listen, Emma, we'll get them next time. You can be the flower girl at somebody else's wedding, but you're not going to this one.
Emma, you got to stop getting drunk at everyone's weddings. You're getting a reputation nobody wants you there.
Yeah, so in that way, I think it's kind of ridiculous. For once in all of these wedding posts, the parents are actually like OP, but like overpowered. Like, they did something really, really great. They're like, why not have both?
Why not do the common sense thing?
So way to go, parents. You absolutely crushed it. But people, like, start like thinking about what you want from your family, like what kind of relationship you want, and collaborate. Like, why do you need to be so fixed? That's just my 3 cents. Johnny Fofani out.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I see where you're coming from, and I completely disagree with you. I think everyone here is an asshole.
Wow.
I'll walk you through it.
Do it. Yes.
We talk about weddings on this thing a lot. And I think that, on this podcast and obviously in our lives, especially recently, but, it is the responsibility of the wedding haver to try to accommodate their guests and also to try to make the people in their life as much as part of the day as possible. Not to be picking favorites, not to be, you know, making problems where there doesn't need to be. And although it's an honest mistake to not think of just having two flower girls, the fact that you have a whole paragraph about you have a special connection with a 6-year-old over a 5-year-old family member, like, okay, sure. I'm sure that's true, but it doesn't matter. You're overthinking it. You know, you're trying to create room for people to celebrate you in the way that they want to show up for you. And I think that's important. That's why I think it's important. If someone offers to help you with a wedding, you should, you know, find something for them to do, because it is a way to show love. The parents of the flower girl are failing in their responsibility, which is, on someone else's wedding day, it is not about you. It is good to try to show up for them. It's good. And it's important that they should give you room to try. But if they don't, if they fail at that, it is your job to create room in your heart to not be so selfish that you try to make it about you. Because it's one of those days where it's just not about you. And that's important. It's important to remember that. It's not about you. And so if you are going to a wedding and you are doing something that is making it about you, you are fucking it up. You're goofing it up as a guest. You're doing it bad. Do better. Now, someone with a critical eye here might notice that I called the parents the asshole as well. And I think that's going to be controversial, but hear me out.
Somebody with a critical ear, though, would notice that not 15 minutes ago, you're like, podcasts are an audio medium. And now you're like, has a critical eye.
Yeah, but someone with a critical eye is reading the transcript of the podcast that we do not create. If you have a critical eye, you'll notice that people often think about keeping the peace over the obvious duty of creating the peace. There is no peace here. There is a brother and a sister and sister-in-law who are trying to make the wedding about them. There is a bride who is not making room for people in her life to show up for her at her wedding and give her love. That is not peace. And so this is why there's a problem here that's coming to a head in this whole debacle. And so keeping the peace has never been an option. And as parents, as a third party, wiser, ideally party, you're supposed to come in and you're supposed to say, hey, you're being a bad guest and you're being a bad bride and y'all need to figure your shit out. And I love you both, but you can't be this way to your sister on her wedding, about her wedding. And you can't, don't try to exclude 5-year-olds. What are you doing? Stop it. Like, you need tough love here.
Pop the madness. Yep.
You're not showing up for anyone by trying to keep the peace. You're basically trying to get everyone to come to a wedding pretty mad at each other. And that is not the way you do a wedding. In my incredibly humble wedding, you know, wedding on the brain opinion. Because I've been thinking about weddings a lot. And it's important to not just like invite beef at your wedding and then ask everyone to simmer the beef, hoping that the beef don't get burnt. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Really good. So for those of you at home or on the go, or wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening, you can disagree with us. You can have a confounding third opinion, a fourth opinion, even a ninth opinion if you'd like. Let us know in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. And even if you don't like us, give us a minimum of like 30 stars. If I'm not looking at a beautiful, clear night sky in Grimsby, Ontario, when I'm looking at my podcast ratings, I know that nobody's done their job. So let's all step it up. 30 stars minimum. Let's get the show on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
local,
if your
local anonymous hacking group hacks the rating system of popular podcasts sites in order to give one podcast 17 stars, if we don't read that in the news, then are you really a fan of the show?
And we're not even giving 30 stars to Beyonce or Smartless. It's for the Jonathans. That's it. Period. End of story.
Does Beyonce have a podcast?
She better.
I'll look that up real quick. You keep talking. I'm just going to.
Okay. Can I keep plugging our show, please? Otherwise,
oh, yeah, sure.
We're not going to get 30 stars.
I'm just going to check if Beyonce has a podcast.
I'm sure you listened to this episode to get to this point, but you can also find us at on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all the other podcasting platforms. We're literally everywhere. We're also at TikTok and Instagram at Am I the Bleep. We've loved it. Actually, some of our posts recently have gotten literally 3,000 or 4,000 comments, which is literally stupid. That's more comments on a post than Beyonce has gotten recently. So
Beyonce does not have a podcast, but she was on Oprah's podcast. So I don't know how many comments that episode had, but we're probably in the same ballpark.
We have at least as many comments and viewership as Oprah with Beyonce.
Yeah,
on
I think so.
Minimum. And Oprah, if you want to have us on your show,
want to come on this show, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Do you think Oprah's the bleep?
No, I think Oprah, but I think Oprah can decide if someone is the bleep.
I feel like Oprah could skip all the coaching steps and just like judge. I think she's earned that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Awesome. So yeah, check it out. And John, if you want to leave us with your incredible words of wisdom.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, please.
This week's words of wisdom are, have you ever had one of those days when you're holding a stick and everybody looks like an asshole?
Whoa, welcome to Am I the Bleep?